Yagmala, welcome the last time for White Dragons All-American Ninjas. Oh, I am so sad that we are wrapping up this season, but at the same time, I'm very happy because I know that we'll be coming back soon with Season 2, and that's going to be something totally awesome, which we will tell you about at the end of the episode. I'll tell you right now, I am 8th Dan Stanadu, and I am joined, as usual, by Jim.
This is Jim, and I'm only allowed to speak as many times in this episode as Bolo Young spoke in Shoot Fighter Fight to the Death. This will be one of the five lines I get to say in the entire episode.
We won't be hearing from Jim very much. All right, Blackjack. I know Blackjack doesn't have any of those kind of rules.
Sup, my pretties.
All right. That's very weird again, but okay.
I'm not referring to you. I'm referring to the listeners.
Yeah, you're still creepy. You're a creepy motherfucker, but okay. Yeah. All right, moving on. Nick Boxer.
Nick Boxer says, greetings and salutations.
All right.
I'm up for a reach around if you're in the mood there.
And I'm the creepy
Blackjack.
Well, unfortunately, my friends.
My fault for always saying to him, all you have to do is ask.
Yeah, there you go. Well, our good friend Brad Doc is not available this week yet again. This time, it's crazy. He is gone to Canada, and he is in Newfoundland. I don't know what he's doing there.
He missed the whole freaking season.
I know, it's unfortunate. But hey, think about the frequent flyer miles that this guy's racking up. It is amazing. I don't know why he goes to all these places, but you know, like, the stories
he's building up. He's building up frequent flyer miles so he can go to the Philippines and take us all to the House of Thousand Massages or wherever the hell it was.
Yeah. But yeah, so I think that's one of the interesting things because I know when he actually does come on, he's going to have some incredible stories from all the places that he's been able to visit. But he's not here, so we got to get down to the business at hand. And the business at hand, my friends, is Shoot Fighter. And that Shoot Fighter Fight to the Death. And as we already established from Bloodsport, I do love me some Bolo. So I am very happy that Bolo has come back for us in this season. All right, Nick Boxer, tell us about Shoot Fighter Fight to the Death.
Really, you know, I think the best way to describe, if you want to sell this movie to somebody, just ask them if they've seen Bloodsport. Have they seen Kickboxer? This is another one.
But come on, it's also like half the Karate Kid film too.
Oh, so. No. That's a little bit of Karate Kid in there. This is a guy who owns a kung fu studio school. His long lost best friend comes back after some mysterious shenanigans. Brother-in-law.
Soon to be brother-in-law, I guess. No, brother-in-law.
I kind of thought the two males had more of a like sexual tension between them than the guy and his wife, but romance, you know, I really didn't want to get too far down that road, so that's the reason I sort of tried to, because she doesn't have anything to do with this movie. Nothing.
Dude, that you could have gotten
she whines a lot.
And I love the fact that she's like actually a name actor. You know, that's one of my favorite parts is that, you know, it's like she's Miriam, right?
Miriam Dabo, Bond girl.
Yeah, probably the biggest star at the time of the filming. Still, I mean, it was like what 5-6 years out from The Living Daylights, but still, probably at the time, the biggest star in the film.
But yeah, I mean, honestly, like, her part could have very easily been cut out. And we wouldn't have noticed.
So these two guys sort of bond, are you know, white hair, a white blonde hero dude is training for some sort of national championship. They don't really get too far into any of the technicalities of, you know, the martial arts. His master, played by Bolo Young, he's awesome. He's there. He stands in the background a lot and nods
Oh, but nobody nods as well as him.
Oh no, he nods awesome. I'm not criticizing the nodding.
You better not criticize Bolo, because Bolo's the fucking man.
No. He's the bomb in everything he does.
I find him overly permissive with his staff. they're constantly asking him for time off, and he gives them an okay sign.
But there's some sort of nonsense about the boat money troubles. Enter a Mexican shoot fighting ring run by the guy who used to train the Bad Dojo in the Karate Kid film.
Cobra Kai.
I like to think of this as, you know, Karate Kid part like 3.5. This is what this guy went to do. If it sounds like it doesn't make a lot of sense, it really doesn't. I can honestly say this movie, you know, I think it's only about 1.5 hours long, and I still have no idea what shoot fighting is.
That was my request for Jack, was please, when you're bringing the facts of Fury, please tell us what shoot fighting is.
Yeah. Shoot fighting is a real thing. Yeah. So I will explain it to you here. Shoot fighting is a real thing. In professional wrestling, it used to be circus and that type of thing, the carnivals, right? It was a carny thing. And they used to have a guy that they used to have people out there, and they would perform or whatever, and then they would have offer the crowd to challenge one of the guys. And that would be the guy that they would bring in then would be known as a shooter or a hooker, because he was legit. He was real. Nobody could really beat him. But the guys they put out there beforehand performing were easy. So shooting is known as real fighting. And shoot fighting is also related to the actual discipline of shoot fighting, which does exist, is kind of a combination then of grappling like that, ground grappling and judo and kickboxing. So it is a real thing. So there you go.
See, now you've pitched a movie to me. I want to see that movie.
I am interested to see that movie. It does explain why this is like really more boxing. It's not truly a martial arts film, despite the way they are in training. Like, they train in martial arts, but then they actually don't fight using martial arts significantly. They mostly punch each other.
That's true. And that's probably why, yeah.
All right, well, now I understand that. Okay, your next thing I need you to explain to me is why Maryam Dabo's accent disappears and reappears throughout the film.
At the time, she was dating Keanu Reeves.
Good honor. Well, there's like, I wonder, because there's this one offhand line that says that she spent a couple of years in England or something, and it's like that's supposed to explain why she has this accent appears.
She is English.
But that's what I'm saying, is like, sometimes she speaks with an American accent, sometimes she speaks with an English accent.
I think she spent a couple of years in America. And I believe she went back to when she realized her cousin Olivia was going to have the much bigger career.
No, I mean the character says that. The character says she had spent some time in England.
Oh, I'm talking about the actress.
I'm talking about the character. I'm within the mise-en-scène of the film itself.
nice reference, Jim.
Thank you. Yeah.
Can't we both be right in this case?
No.
So underground shoot fighting in Tijuana.
Yes.
That's what we got.
That's because Martin Cove's character can't get it anywhere else, because he killed he killed Bolo's pupil in wherever the shoot fighting was before.
I thought it was Hong Kong.
I can't recall.
I don't remember if they told you, but yeah.
Yeah.
Something along that line.
Yeah.
That guy that is killed at the beginning there, I can't remember his name, something Joe, but at the beginning there, he's killed. He actually plays the villain in Shoot Fighter 2, where he's a horrible person. And in real life, he's a far worse person, being in jail, serving life for murder and rape right now. Hmm. So Martin Cove is the good guy in my eyes.
You know, that's such a it's interesting because I know we scraped to find the unrated version of this that has the extra whatever. What did I say it was?
Minute and a half. We scraped. I bitched that we were gonna that you guys kept saying does it really matter? And I was like, yes. We scraped and we fought so hard to get it. Turns out it's on YouTube.
but the funny thing is, you can actually tell which parts because they look like they were added in from a VHS machine in some cases. So it kind of adds to the experience in that regard, less so in the actual content, because the content is just a little bit of extra gore, not completely unwanted, a little out of place perhaps in a movie like this. Now for me, I had a very interesting experience when I was watching this movie because I wound up watching it over 2 days. I watched about the first 50 minutes of it in one day, and at the end of it, I was just like, dude, nothing's going on. They've just fought a little bit, like they've sparred, they fought a little bit, you know, Bolo said about 5 words, you know, other than the big scene off the top with the throat getting ripped out, you know, there's next to nothing that's actually happened. And then, thankfully, when I sat down the next day to watch the last 40 minutes, it was great because all the action just just laid out in front of me. And
was that the start of the finals?
Well, no. It was really just before just after they headed to Mexico to start shoot fighting. Like it feels like for the first 50 minutes, they're dealing so much with the characters of. Ruben and what's his name?
See, that's one Nick? Thing I found. That's yeah, one thing I found very strange. Fucking character development.
Yeah.
That's one thing I found very strange. But a lot of this movie is shot and edited like an after school special.
Oh yeah,
it's very everyone's about to learn an important lesson. Constantly throughout this movie, everyone's talking so like the grown up can give them advice.
everything in this movie I found overcomplicated. it's like they wanted to make a generic martial arts film, and then just sort of said, "Oh, and let's add a second guy to like be in it as like dual stars." Or let's add a subplot where they're in debt to the mafia, when all you really had to do is go to Mexico and start shoot fighting. there is so much extra just crap in this movie.
Well, one of the things that I found really weird was, to kind of expand on your point there, was that you had these things that were occurring that were part of this really great, I'll use that term loosely, but the storyline that wasn't actually explained very well. Like, there's this part, especially in the second half, where William Zabka's character, Ruben, he just starts getting really mean, and he's like, I don't need anybody to protect me.
He gets in a fight, and then he says to the Ponytail guy, his brother-in-law, Ponytail guy, he says to him, hey, that's the first actual real fight I've ever been in. So far, it's just been, you know, practice and competition. And it turns out he likes it. Oh, it flips a switch in him. He likes the fight.
And he flips off the deep end. And by the end, you feel like they're trying to explain this as having a reason of like, oh, well, brother-in-law always got all the attention. And William Zabka, Ruben, never got all the attention. So he's extremely violent and wants to murder people now.
Now he's training now, you know, without the and he doesn't need Bolo anymore, you know, and he's but it's great stuff.
But you know, the real one that got me, and it's essentially the basis of the entire movie, is what the hell Martin Cove's character had against Bolo's character. Because they only explain it in like a 20-second flashback, right? About 3/4 of the way through the movie, and it's still
you're talking
like,
about the arm thing.
Yeah.
That Martin Cove's character, the bad guy, that he injured his arm, which he still is. But the funniest part about that, here's a facts of fury, is that wasn't in the script. They had to write that into the script because Martin Cove had an accident with a helicopter. Yeah, I believe it was a helicopter, some sort of motorboat accident or helicopter accident where a blade hit his arm. And rather than, you know, go out of the movie, they just had to figure out a way to write it in. And that's how, that's why they did that. So without that, imagine how little.
Like, it'd be like, oh, I hate that guy. Why do you hate that guy, boss? Oh, because he's got bigger boobs than I do. But I mean, it's like, I don't know, why the hell do you hate him?
So you're talking about the scene where, so the kind of turning point was to get the fight in the bar, right? Is that like the first fight, real fight he's been in?
Yes.
So they get in this fight in the bar, and like, it's like a Coward of the County kind of scene where they're in a bar playing pool, and then these big rough and tumble guys come in and start making comments about the guy's wife. And he's going to leave, and then they start it, and then like they decide they're going to fight it out after all, because they make a homosexual reference, and that's, can't have that. So, yeah. But one, I mean, it's one thing to talk about raping my wife, but if you're gonna imply that I might be gay,
me,
yeah, God, I love the 80s.
If you're gonna imply that I'm gay, then it's time to throw down. So they have this big fight that looks like, oh, these guys have been drinking, like they've been partying all day. They're running their mouths. We're gonna shut them. And then they walk outside, and it's the middle of the afternoon.
I know,
right, sunny day.
Yes, because they've been hanging out all day and drinking.
It can't have been that late, that early. They were late for dinner.
That's what I wrote that down. So they get home. Okay, so they have this fight that lasts like two minutes. And then they go, they drive home, and then she's mad because they've missed their party. And they said, "We ran into trouble." I'm like, what trouble? You were not leaving that bar when you were still playing.
Not only that, but it took you maybe 36 seconds to beat them up. Yeah. We wouldn't have been late if it wasn't for that 36 seconds. That we had to
spend. They had stopped playing pool when this fight broke out too. Like they weren't leaving. They were hanging around.
So
I don't like they use that. You know, they really disappointed Marion Dabo, and I think that she deserved better.
I got a real question about because it leads into that. Now, this other character is in this, the Jill character, and
oh gosh, she's amazing.
This now, there's so much about this character. So okay, so apparently she works for Shingo, which is Bolo's character. I'm not completely sure what really she does for him, but
he also owns a restaurant. Is that like?
I thought it was just a different restaurant. I didn't think he owned it.
It's his mother's, I think, restaurant.
But she works there.
But she does work there. But
she has Bolo for time off.
The actress looks like she's some sort of Latin heritage, but I'm 99% sure the character is supposed to be Asian.
Asian, yes. But yes. I was amazed because, like, okay, so when they first introduce her, she's Miriam DeBose's friend. And it's just like, hey, I want to introduce you to my brother. And of course, the sparks fly. Well, the sparks don't actually fly because this girl, besides the fact that she's, you know, she's like a stump. I mean, she doesn't do much.
She could very well be the worst actor I have ever seen, and she's still acting.
Yeah. I believe she was warm for his form. Of course, I also thought that the brother dude was Tommy from the Power Rangers for the entire movie. So.
Well, that would have been cool. But no, like this, the second that I saw this thing, and I'm like, huh? What? Why are you introducing this person? and then it's just like, oh well, he's really sexy, and then they just fall in love, and it's just, wow, that is the least convincing love connection I have ever watched in a
movie.
Like
I say,
period.
she's still working. She was in a film called Notice just 2 years ago. Wow. That was nominated for a bunch of some awards, or it was a short film nominated for awards and across Europe. So believe it or not, the worst actress we ever seen is could have been perhaps the most successful.
She's one of the only ones still working out of the whole lot of them.
Yeah, because I had more trouble.
If it wasn't for the Cobra Kai like short like web series webisodes, yeah. Now.
Yeah. He's incredibly successful now. Yeah, William Zabka, having been kind of brought back through How I Met Your Mother, a running joke on How I Met Your Mother, is where all that came from.
What is it called? We Are Kings, I think, is the music video, Sweep the Leg, Johnny. Yeah, that one as well, even before How I Met Your Mother. That I think that's what brought him back on the radar. And he directed the video for that, which is great. If you haven't seen it, it's opens with all the people from Karate Kid, all the Cobra Kai members in a trailer park watching the movie over and over again, repeating their lines. Like, this is the highlight of their lives. He directed the video, and it's him there, nice. And it's awesome, and it's a good song.
Nice.
You know, there's so much character development which is so weird. Let's talk a little bit about the actual shoot fighting. In the Mexico, like there's some great moments, you know, where it's just like what do you mean, like shoot fighting? You have to kill somebody? What? But
that's it. In the first rounds, you can leave, like you fight and you get some money. But if you go on to kind of the further into the thing, you can't leave. Once you're in, you're in, and the fights become to the death.
Yeah, it becomes like a big competition. Yeah, that's like a specific competition.
They really punctuate it by, you know, putting a guy in the snake in the first round.
That was an exhibition fight. That wasn't part of it. That was two former champions. Did you even watch the movie?
I've asked this question before. I've asked this question in American Ninja. I'm going to ask this question in Street Fighter. Is fighting to the death a sustainable business model? Because how do you have next year's competition when you have killed off 19 of your 20 competitors?
Well, obviously, what happens? I of course it is. I mean, you always have a new influx of morons like Ruben. Well,
they are offering a serious prize. It was six figures or something like that.
Right? Okay, so then always every time you're going to have your previous year's champion and then the winner of the two champions matchup. Yeah. So those two guys can fight in the pre-match. One of those is going to die, but then and the cycle just keeps replicating itself. So yes, obviously. I mean, you can just keep going forever.
I believe the cycle keeps replicating itself is the most accurate thing you just said.
this is, you know, again,
okay, when we're talking about the competition, I love the other, that there's a big black guy that is competing against Waves.
God, I love him.
With the crimped hair, who is the most intense actor in the history of film.
Oh, yeah.
and again, a perfect example of, like, you know, he sees Ruben, and it's just like, oh, I hate you, and I'm gonna fight you.
And luckily, just, he does.
Yeah, I know. Of course, it's amazing how that works out. But I'm like, why do you hate him? Other than the fact that he's tall and white and silly looking.
It's like he picked nothing to him. It's like he's trying to intimidate. It's like the opposite of what you do in the prison yard. Like he goes in and he picks the smallest, least threatening guy. Just like, I'm gonna make my mark here.
It's like what really seemed to piss him off was when the William Zabka character goes to another guy that he fought against in one of these competitions previously in one of these national tournaments and goes, hey, I remember you. Yeah, we fought once. And he's like, hey, nice to see you here. And he's super friendly. And this guy's like, I gotta fucking beat this guy up.
Because it's the weirdest thing, and this is what I really don't understand, is like, okay, so by the time you reach the final, shoot fighting is a fight to the death. How truly is it that all these guys know each other? I would think they'd all be fucking dead.
Oh my god, this thing was, yeah. I'm glad I pushed for this because we were like looking for the final film, and at one point we were having a larger season and we cut it down, and I pushed for this film because I thought with Bolo in there and because I'd seen it like when I was 19, And I remembered it. Like it stuck with me as a film that I really enjoyed and I always wanted an excuse to watch again. Never had. So I needed this. I needed this, guys, more than any of you. I needed this. And,
yeah,
and
sure pick the one film Bolo wears a shirt.
You know what? And I also thought, you know, it does tie in so well to Bloodsport. I am glad that this one ended up on the list.
It's definitely becomes a crazy movie. There's no question about it. But like what I will remember about this one is truly the fact that they just tried to put so much storyline and they failed so badly. You know,
well, yeah.
Where it should have just been action scene, 2 minutes goes by, action scene, 2 minutes. You know,
that's like, how I remembered it. And then it turned out that wasn't it until the last half.
Yeah, yeah.
But what it is, it really is.
Oh, yeah, for sure. All right, we should get into the scoring.
Absolutely, we should. All right, so time to do the scores. We use 5 different categories, none of which are objective quality. These are all about the enjoyment of the film. And the first category we call schlock appeal. Stan, let's start with you.
All right. Well, man, this is a tale of two viewings, because that first viewing was just terrible. I wouldn't even give this movie a 2. But the second part, I would probably give the movie an 8. So I think I'm just going to have to give it a 6 and just kind of split it down the middle a little bit. I'll weight it a little higher, because let's be honest, there was a lot of schlock.
Yeah. Sorry, you were going to say something?
No, go ahead.
Nick Boxer here, and I'm giving this a 6. Not high on the schlock appeal. Really, I think to recommend this movie, you have to sort of recommend other movies of the genre to compare it to. Yeah, not high, but, you know, not terrible. It's a little shocky. I don't know what the word is for that.
Schlockalicious.
Not rapey. Schlock.
Schlock. Yeah. Schlock above. Yeah. I don't know.
So we got a 6. Gold.
Did we get 2 6s in a row then?
2 6s in a row.
2 6s right. In a row. Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to give it a 7. And it's this simple. If this film was, say, a big budget Hollywood film starring Channing Tatum, you'd be like, holy shit, this is awful. But because this is a small budget film with Bolo and Martin Cove and William Zadka, you're like, this is awesome. It works to its advantage. So it's a 7.
All right. I'm going low on the schlock here. I'm only giving it a 5. I don't think that... I don't think it brought it. I think I could have used more of the Jake the Snake Roberts boa guy and yeah. less of Miriam Dabo complaining about their budget.
And definitely less of the Jill character attempting to look like she was actually interested in ponytail.
All right. Next category we call More Heart Than Budget.
Oh, I'll tell you, I can't go very high on this one because I know exactly where they spent their budget. It was on actors. They got Martin Cove, William Zabka, Bolo Young, Miriam DeBoe. Like, I mean, it's just I guess they must have figured that if they put recognizable faces in it, people would want to see it. And maybe, unfortunately, that caused them to try to put story into it. So that was an epic fail, trying to put story into an action movie. But so I'm going to give this one a 3.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. This could have been a classic. And, you know, I actually think in the editing room, it could have been made a classic. Just cut some of the crap out of there. But yeah, I don't think anyone cared about this film enough to even, you know, go, yeah, let's save this sucker. No, let's just release the first cut. So, yeah. And I believe I said, did I give a number there?
No, I have no idea what you just said.
Was it English?
Fuck was that?
Okay, no, I don't think anyone really cared about this movie. So, yeah, let's go with a 4.
Nick obviously didn't. So,
All right. I got a 5 on this one. It's like, because here's the thing. I could almost go 6. I could, you know what? I'm going to go 6. I'm going to go 6. And yes, they spend all the money on the actors. And yes, it's a really violent movie. And yet it's not like it has great special effects. But you know what? It's not a like poorly looking movie. It doesn't have the things like, you know, I mean, at least it's professional. It's clearly low budget, but it's professional looking for what it is. It doesn't have boom mics and shit like that in there. So I'm going to give it a 6.
All right. Well, I think that at no point did the creators of this film understand the money. And this goes back to a line in the film where they say that the prize for the championship of shoe fighting is hundreds of thousands of dollars. You'll be set for life. And I think that kind of financial acumen is what they brought to the film as well. So 5. All right, the next category is always our favorite. It is the what the fuck moments. Those moments that not only do we not know how they made it in this film, we don't know how they made it in 8 film. Stan.
Oh my god. It's funny because like I don't necessarily feel like there is a lot, like the battle between the snake and the bear or whatever he was. That one almost seemed like a what the fuck because it was like good. It was this really interesting fight right smack in the middle of.
Plus, it was clearly like we need another 5 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. I think really like when I'm going for the what the fucks, I'm looking at like the fact that William Sabka's character was just hated and reviled so quickly, even though like most of nobody had ever met him before. Of course, the lack of real explaining the story and stuff like that. The beginning was kind of a what the fuck moment because well, they didn't really bother explaining that too well. And of course the relationship between Ponytail and the girl, and why everybody, like you said earlier, why everybody kept asking Bolo for permission. It was just like, and but the number one moment though is like they're, I mean, because Martin Cove was trying desperately to get Bolo Young to like come down to Mexico so that they could fight, and I'm just like, you know, you couldn't figure out a better plan than finally getting the one guy hooked on shoot fighting. Like, wow, this plan just happened to fall in your lap more so than anything. I mean, it's not a plan. It's just, oh, look, this happened. But like, there's this point right away afterwards where Ponytail doesn't know Bolo Shingo from, you know, from anybody when he first shows up, and then like 10 minutes later there's this part where it's just like, oh, you know, Shingo's student. He's not Shingo's student, but then he became Shingo's student, but they were already referring to him as Shingo's student well before he was actually Shingo's student. So like, to me, that was like, what the fuck is going on here? But so based on that, I will give it a 6.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I think the biggest what the WTF moment for Nick Boxer was the heart. we had like 40 minutes of, you know, basic Karate Kid style fighting. Sort of lulls you into like, you know, rhythm of the film. And then all of a sudden, this big black guy reaches into the snake guy's chest and pulls out his heart.
That's right there, more heart than budget.
I mean, it was just so over the top violent. I found it shocking after being lulled into this, you know, tournament style fighting film.
Yeah, because the ripping out of the throat.
Right. No, but I mean, that was at the beginning of the film. I quite honestly, I may have had a nap between then and
yeah, because I get it, like it's ultra violent. Like you get really excited watching the first 5 minutes of this movie because it's just like, it's like that like, it reminds you of King of the Kickboxers. It's got that feel, and then it's just like, oh yeah, he gets his throat ripped out. Oh man, this is going to be ultra violent. And then the next thing you know, it's Mariam DeBoe nagging William Sobka's character for the next 40 minutes, and you're like, oh, really? What the hell is going on in this movie?
And I added the fact, I don't think that's even possible.
To rip somebody's heart out like that? Come on.
Or to nag for that
look. Because I'll tell you,
guarantee that one is
yeah, that one's very possible. But,
Yes. Did
you score
sorry,
it?
Sorry, I did not give a number. Yeah, it's not that high on this list, but yeah, let's go with a 4.
Yeah, I don't think it's a super strong category. It has them, but it's like, here's the thing. The WTF moments and probably the last category that we'll get to at the end as well. Both of these, I think, early compared to some of our early films would have scored higher, but the bar was raised by Ninja 3 and by Rob Force as far as WTFs. So I'm only going to give this a 4 because yeah, they're there, but most of it is, it's not that thing where it's like, hey, we just had this idea and we threw this in. It's just stuff that happens from a poor script of like, you know, of hey, he doesn't know Bolo. Hey, all of a sudden he's a student. Hey, let's have a training season or you know, a montage for 10 minutes. Hey, let's you know, he's a super nice guy who loves kids. Hey, he beats up everybody he sees. Like it's that stuff. Like it's there, but it's more of a poorly written script thing. So I think, what did I give it? Did I say 4?
You said 4.
Or 5.
The reason
4 is about accurate.
The reason that I gave it a 6 is because of that, but is because I was looking at it from, especially after talking about it, I was looking at it from within the context of the movie, because there's so much that they try to lay out, and then there's so many things within the movie that contradict what they laid out. So I enjoyed that part, maybe more so than the rest of it.
All right. Well, I didn't have a lot of WTF moments written down. The boa constrictor guy was one that I had noted, but I'm so glad that no one has brought this up, because often by the time it gets to me, all the good WTF stuff is used up, and there's one that no one has caught to. Maybe some of you even missed. I watched this with my wife Lacey. She recognized him before
what's
I did.
What's her full name again?
Lacey Underall. Bob Schott, who played the character we did not understand in Gymkhana, who starts killing everyone else in the Gymkhana competition in the big obstacle course. So Bob Schott is in this film credited only as bodyguard. Big old man boobs. Oh, wearing a mesh shirt with a jacket over it.
You're right. I completely forgot about
that. And they
refer
to him as a gorilla, right? Or something like that?
Something like that. He's just in the credits as bodyguard. He's like three quarters of the way down.
And they set it up so you're sure that he's going to be somebody they're going to have to go through, like Bolo's going to have to go through or something. Because he kills some guy in the locker room very violently. Yeah.
Yep. That's
the
big scene.
No playoff whatsoever.
It's like the last like 20, 30 minutes of the movie, he's not even in it. Like nope, he's not no. even, like it's every other bodyguard, not him. Yes, I was so happy to see him. I was very excited when his mesh shirt showed up. Because what was he wearing? Like a mesh shirt and like a pink suit or something like that.
He's got like a jacket and he's got a jacket and khakis or something on.
And the hair. Hair.
And he looks like I know there's years between them, but he looks like he walked off of Gymkhana right onto the set of Shoot Fighter.
Oh, man. So
how the hell did I miss Thorg? I mean, I saw him. He was there. I didn't.
I like I said, Lacey saw him before I did. Only a couple of these.
I recognized him, but between watching and this recording this show, I did forget that he was there. I am so glad you brought that up.
All right. Well, let's roll this around to memorable moments. These are the moments that will stay with you that will echo through the mists of time.
Well, obviously, it's not the fact that Bob Shaw is in it, because I am. It's too bad because I really like that part. But I guess that's the funny thing is that this is a movie that I really feel like in 6 months I am not going to remember a goddamn thing. I'm going to have this vague recollection of like, huh, that movie, I think it was kind of stupid, but no, I don't remember. And I could watch it again and be like, oh, nope, still don't remember. So I'm not going to go very high. I think I'm just going to go with a 2.
All right.
Nick Boxer's memory might be failing because I'm giving this one a 0. I watched.
What?
I watched this. I watched this film 6 days ago. I enjoyed it thoroughly. Getting ready to record with you guys today, I realized to do the plot summary, I had nothing. I could not remember a single moment of this film. And this film has a guy's heart being ripped out by another fighter. I had to rewatch the film today to remember basically anything that happened, and I'd only seen it 6 days ago. That's how unmemorable this film is. And I enjoyed it.
Oh, that says so much.
Nick, if this happens in more than one movie, please seek medical attention.
I just couldn't remember a thing that happened.
I totally understand. I had watched this maybe 2 weeks ago, and I had to review, and I'm like, oh, this is what happens in this movie. That's right. I'm looking at my notes. I'm like, I don't remember what any of this means.
You know, it sounds like such like a condemning thing that I didn't like the movie, but I really did. It's just so similar to other movies.
You'll really be able to get your money's worth, though, because you can watch this over and over and enjoy it every time like it's a brand new experience.
Whoa, dude, why haven't I watched this movie before? This is good.
If Bolo Young was shirtless in it, I think I would have enjoyed it, like, could have remembered something.
That's it. Like, oh, dude.
You need a Chung Lee moment. Like, you know, stepping out of the mat, flexing his pectorals.
Well, he did. You know. He did that a little bit at the very end when he he kicks
Martin
Cove's
ass. Plus,
he was
like 52 or 53 when he did this, right?
And that's that is one of those moments, though, where you're just like, at the very end of the movie, like, not only does he beat Martin Cove, he whips his ass. It's like the 2 minute battle of like, poof, all around the ring, like, arr! Yeah. And you're suddenly like, dude, wow, Martin Cove, you're really fucking dumb.
Awesome. Jack, right, Jack, memorable moments.
You know, I'm steamed over here.
Did I steam your clams?
Jack, are you doing this because you remember watching it earlier, and that's why like this is scoring higher for you? Because you actually can remember it?
Well, that's exactly it. Like, I saw this when I was 19. You know, I was babysitting my niece, and it came on like Showtime, and it was late, and I watched it, and I remembered it, enough moments about it to remember it and want to see it again years later. That to me is a memorable movie. Plus, I just want to say I'm doing this without notes. I'm going commando. Also, I don't have notes. I do all these without notes. You probably have noticed. It's a 10. I got to make up for it. I was going to give it an 8. Because I think this is the strongest thing in the movie, but I'm going to have to go 10 now to make up for it. Because seriously, the I will never forget the fight scene. It's like we talk about in Bloodsport how we wanted to see the backstory of every single fighter. The same thing happened here. I want to see the backstory of every single fighter, but especially the Snake guy. That style was so different and memorable and unique that it stuck with me for years until I saw it again. And it still was cool and different and memorable and unique. And the choreography and the fights is a step above what we've seen for the rest of the season, especially. And again, when you hear two sticks slapping together for the rest of your life, you're going to think of Bolo in the last fight when he sits there and he takes that resume and he's slapping those sticks together. that's awesome. You're just so into him. You're like, Bolo, Bolo, Bolo. It's the same rhythm as him slapping that.
Were there sticks in this film? I remember no sticks.
Totally can't remember that. Sorry.
Finish this movie about 20 minutes before we started. Remember no sticks. None.
Two sticks together that he's using in the fight? Dude, that is so cool. It's such a memorable moment when he does that and the crowd gets into him and I'm just like, I love Bolo and it's like, it's such a cool moment. I don't know how you don't remember that.
I do remember it now. Totally forgot it though earlier. Wouldn't have come back into my mind unless he brought that up.
It's the best fight. That fight is largely because of Bolo. It's the best fight and even though Martin Cove does have some martial arts background too, but it's the best fight of the entire season that we saw. Best one-on-one fight of the entire
Wow. Now I think you're the one that's on crack.
What's a better one-on-one fight that we saw this season?
I'd take almost anything from Bloodsport.
Bolo Young and Bloodsport was better than this. Like, this isn't even the best Bolo Young fight in the season.
Hell, I would take Bolo Young versus Donald Gibbs in Bloodsport over this.
Man, this is not even as good.
Bloodsport.
This is not even as good as the fight with the guy who wears the swastika and the woman tied up on the bed.
Fuck you, yes it is. Ted!
Alright, well, I came in somewhere in the middle. I gave it a 3. the part that I did really love about this movie wasn't the fight, it was the really weird after school special training montage where Polo's training ponytail guy and William Zaka has to train himself, which involves him going down to the bad neighborhoods and picking fights with Latino gang members.
That was great. I love that. Luckily, there's enough Latino gang members around to be able to fight every day.
Yeah. That was great stuff. That was great stuff.
That was my takeaway from this flick. All right. Our last category is called the crazy concept. That is how wacky is this that it exists at all? Stan, let's start with you.
Well, I mean, okay, so shoot fighting does exist, so this by itself means that it can't be that crazy. Let's see now. So then we have the only thing that I find crazy is that you could try to convince me that Ponytail and that girl are interested in each other. That is the craziest element of this concept that I can get to. Otherwise, I would have no problem selling this to a studio. So I am going with a 2. And besides, the fact is, I'll forget the movie in 6 months. It's Chinese food. It's the Chinese food of movies. We will forget. We will watch it and forget it 6 minutes later.
I hate all three of you.
Nick, give us a number.
Yeah, Nick is giving it a 2 for obvious reasons. They just went into the financier's office. You know, they made money with Bloodsport. We got the guy from The Critic Kid. Go.
Like, the guys.
The guy.
Actually, probably went into the financier's office and went, Cobra Kai! and it was just like, really?
We're gonna put that magic team from Karate Kid back together. Yes. Mr. Miyagi and Daniel? No.
All right. Well, once again, this is a category that would have scored higher earlier than it does now because the bar has been raised. But yes, it is only getting a 4, but it's mainly getting a 4 because here's what's the crazy concept, and that's the Bolo Young is a good guy. Because Bolo Young was never a good guy. I don't know that he was ever a good guy until this film. No, that was a crazy concept. Okay, so he was a good guy in one other film before this, but no other American films.
Are Chinese guys allowed to be good guys in 80s films?
Unless they're like silly stereotype characters that are sidekicks.
I'm a little disappointed that the uh, that the real martial arts hero of this movie is not American, not a white dude. It's really drifted away from the core of this season. It's a four. All right. I also think that that going into the, if I went into the I went into this producer's office, I'm like, I got the two guys from Karate Kid. No, not those two. And and I've got that, and I've got that guy from Bloodsport. No, not that guy from Bloodsport. And I want to put them all in a movie that's basically Bloodsport.
you think the financiers went, you know, could you change up the martial arts? Like, you know, let's call it shoot fighting.
They're all like, is that a thing? Sure.
I don't think shoot. If you were to say, hey, Bloodsport, shoot fighting, they don't sound at all alike.
Wait. I know you think you know what shoot fighting is. This is underground shoot fighting.
did Martin Cove have a great name for his competition, like Hakuna Matata or something like that? That'd be great.
It's the Hakuna Matata.
Well, here's the thing. This movie was based on Frank Duke's life just as much as this.
And it's exactly as accurate. Yes. All right. So we, as always, we have secret modifiers. This one does unfortunately fall under one of the secret modifiers. It gets a minus for being over 95 minutes long.
What if it's not the rated version?
I did check that because it's 100 minutes and the rated version is like 97 and a half.
Yeah, so it's not...
So it does lose a point there, which means just by one, I'm afraid, Jack, that Shoe Fighter does come in as the bottom of the heap for this season, having been beaten by 1 point by American Ninja.
Oh, thank God. I almost didn't go with a zero. I almost gave it a pity point.
Well, then I would have probably gave it an eight. So it would have been my
It is getting a big boost from that the 10 out of 10 for the Jack David for being memorable. All right. What movie was it we just talked about?
This was so much fun. Seriously, maybe the movie didn't score high, but it was worth doing because this was a blast.
It was. This was, it was a great wrap-up for our White Dragons All-American Ninja season. I am so happy that we were able to... I'm so happy that we decided to do this show because I have had just so much fun sitting down and watching all these ridiculous movies and seeing all the stuff. I'm sure that at the end I will probably have a scene from every movie, well, maybe except Shoot Fighter, in a movie, in like one single movie running through my head. Okay, so let's talk about season two, because season two
boobies.
Is going to come up real soon. And, oh, you're giving it away, because we're going to talk about boobies now. But no, this season is called, season two is called Nerds, Jocks, and Preppies. And so I think you might know where it's going. It's going to be a lot of those 80s 80s sex romp comedies that every boy wanted to watch when they were 14 years old. And we are going to start out with perhaps one of the kings of the genre, Revenge of the Nerds. So I am looking forward to getting some nerd action going next time we see each other, but that's probably wrong. Next time you hear our voices, we will be talking about nerds, not ninjas. But what a great fun time. Jim, why don't you tell people where to find us on the internet?
We are on Instagram at Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo, and as we continue our ongoing search for the ultimate B movie, and we're moving into a new genre, please tag hashtag Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo and tell us your B movies, and we will get to them within the next decade or so.
And thanks to those guys at that the website we're going to be on that hosting us. What is it called again?
WeTalkPodcast.com.
Thanks to the WeTalkPod. I'm sorry, I should have known that. I guess they're going to support it too. They'll probably tweet it out and shit like that, I hope.
And if you like what we're doing, please review us on iTunes. That'll really help boost the show. And hit the subscribe button. And we're hoping to put this out in a couple other places as well so that we can really spread the love of these flicks.
Tell me you have more. If you have 1/10 the fun we have, it's probably the best podcast you're listening to.
Because I'll tell you, we are having so much fun, and I never want this to stop. Because we have so much trouble deciding on which movies are going to be in the season. All we got like 50 seasons mapped out, but God damn it, we can't tell which movies are going to be in them because they all need to be in them.
So we know other people that make their living off a podcast like this that's not as much fun as this. So this needs to be our full-time gig. So what we need you to do is send me a lot of money, not the other guys.
All right. Well, does anybody have anything else they'd like to add before we wrap up season one?
Have you guys ever seen Shoot Fighter?
I hate you guys so much.
All right. Well, for my good buddy Nick, for Jack, for Jim, and of course Brad, who hopefully will be able to join us sometime in season two, this is 8th Dan Adu, and you have listened to season one of Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo.
We got Bush.